Good afternoon and welcome to Tickling the Belly of the Beast from the heartland of Santa Cruz. And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. That's on your online www.freakradio.org. And I'm Janaea, and I'm going to be your host today from 2 until 5. And for the first hour, from 2 to 3, we're going to be learning about many mansions in Santa Cruz that are definitely haunted. And you'll hear stories that literally will make the hair on the back of your neck curl. Trust me in this. And again, we're going to be speaking with Julia Elizabeth Lonergan. Hi, Julia. Welcome
Hi,
back.
Thank you.
I just want to say a little bit about her. Her first book was the same, The Haunting of Mission Santa Cruz, Mexico, from 1708 to 1876. And we're going to be delving into Volume 2. And she has an MA in International Relations from New Mexico State University and has an MS in Cognitive Psychology as well from UCSC. And also, the second author of the book, I really want to plug her. She's an amazing young woman. Her name is Angelica Siena. How do you pronounce her last name?
Garasoli.
Garasoli. And she just graduated from high school?
No, she's actually just graduated from junior high into high school.
Oh, my God, she's so mature.
Yeah, she's a little artist, and she works with art at the same level that I do. And I've been working as an artist for more than 20 years. She's an amazing little girl.
She really is.
She lives in a piece of the Magnolia Rose that the book deals with. And actually, a lot of the paradoxes that we started to disambiguate together was like a little teamwork. She's lived in this mansion since she was 7. Her mother and father acquired it, and her little sister and herself moved in when they were 5 and 7 years old. And their first picture is at the top of the main staircase in the Bayview Hotel, and this is also a piece of the Magnolia Rose that was in Capitola that we've been dealing with so far and what the book deals with.
Listeners that are hearing you for the first time, she's been on 3 times, and I'm going to have her on once a month now. Tell us a little bit about the Magnolia Rose.
Yeah.
What it represented, and then we can get into
the details of the haunting.
Yeah, the haunting.
So we're trying to pin down now the hauntings in each of these mansions, and we spend a lot of time structuring the history and the context of the lives of the people during the years, during the 1700s and through the 1800s. The Magnolia Rose was a magnificent mansion that was built on the Capitola Esplanade that actually faced southwest.
And that's important, and you want to tell us why?
Yeah, directionality was very important to the southern Spanish, because largely the culture is an Eastern-oriented culture where they use, for example, the lunar calendar. So very often the commencement, actually, of the lunar calendar is the Eastern Equinox position. So east and southwest are very significant positions for our predecessors, actually, to this land. There were very important buildings that were built here. So the Magnolia Rose was one of these buildings. It actually was a landing site in the Monterey Bay when Capitola was the capital of North Mexico. Moved here from Alviso in 1832.
Now, where was Alviso?
Alviso is the city, water city, north of San Jose that is entered by a tributary called the River Guadalupe, or it comes from Moroccan Arabic, Guadalquivir. It means big river. And this word is a Spanish Arabic, and it predates the idea of the apparitions of the Virgin of Guadalupe. It's where we think we get the name, you know, the Virgin of Guadalupe. But it's actually Moroccan Arabic, and Guadalquivir means big river. And that's actually what the Rio Grande is named, the big river, the brave, the strong river. So the Magnolia Rose faced southwest on the Capitola Esplanade, and right now this mansion actually has been erased from history. They staged a fire sometime between 1890 and 1907.
Now, who staged the fire?
So remember we were talking about this group called the Bango Boys.
Yes.
And this was a group of Freemasons that actually were a breakaway group of radical fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists.
From the East Coast that wanted to grab the land.
They started from the East Coast
Spanish
and they made it all the way to the West Coast. So these things were going on the East Coast as early as 1623.
This was very valuable land.
The whole United States, all the way to California.
Yep, that's why they wanted it, and it was ripe for, they thought, the taking.
Well, it was ripe for the taking because they had exercised the skills of conquest.
And they learned
And
that.
These skills of conquest they were brutal, but they actually involve something that we don't look close enough at, which is this concept of colonization. And how are we colonizing? Really, what's interesting about colonization, it was taking place inside the Catholic churches. There was mm-hmm. very systematic rape of women and mm-hmm. killing to have orphans that had big wealth. And
we'll talk about some of those families, too, that had the land stolen from them.
So, yeah, the Spanish land grant that was here was called the San Andres land grant. And so the book deals with the Castros and how the Castros were murdered here in Santa Cruz. And all of a sudden, Hines, yes, of the ketchup, and Samuel Prescott Bush, who went under a pseudonym
here.
These
are two Bengal boys.
These are two of the Bengal boys. So in book two, we detail more the history of what happened after the American Civil War here in California, when we have these Eastern Seaboard ex-governors of Tennessee and Georgia and Massachusetts coming to California under Abraham Lincoln. And they were coming to do like...
Under Abraham Lincoln.
So this is before 1865. This is before the American Civil War.
Yes.
Before Lincoln's assassination. People
but
came to California.
You really wonder why he was assassinated. What
yeah.
was behind that in regards to the story that's unfolding as we speak?
So on the Eastern Seaboard, which is very interesting, is that we have this history of George Washington. We have this great tale told to us about, you know, the independence of America and our fight with Great Britain and our achievement of independence in 1776. Well, let me tell you what took place up until that year, was there was a group of Freemasons from Scotland that actually worked to overthrow the Peace of Westphalia. So the word Vispania,
Westphalia?
That's the root word of Spain. Pay attention. It's interesting because, look, Westphalia, now I'm going to say
amazing.
It, Vispania.
Ah.
See you here?
I do.
Spain. Now, Vispania, it was not a territory. It was the name of a woman. And it came to be associated with southern Spanish territory, not northern Spanish territory. Northern Spanish territory is the Castellanos. These are the princes of Castile. They came to power through various revolutions, infiltrations, and intermarriages between the southern Spanish caliphs and the northern Spanish dukes.
Caliphs, what does that term mean?
So the caliphs were the reinstatement of the divided caliphates of the old Sumerian Empire that was overrun. So we have some of the earliest art coming out. They say Turkey, but it's coming out of the north. This is the Umayyad Caliphate.
Ah.
They came in, and the art that's very distinct on the mosque in Cordoba, which is where the Roman dynasty of the caliphates were reinstored after the Abbasids overthrew the Umayyads,
mm-hmm.
we're around 800 Common Era, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to get around there, but we're around 800 Common Era.
But the term means what?
Califato means caliphate. California means califato. They were enlightened spiritual rulers that practiced Sufi.
And that's what they're referred to as? Practiced Sufism.
Yeah, they practiced mysticism. They were like Sufi mystics. They practiced
schools.
A mix of Islam.
The temples.
Yeah. So we have sure been having a lot of fun with this because we're doing actually anthropology and linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually trained in disambiguation of rock culture and language. So my best work in New Mexico that I did was, for example, was try to resurrect the voice of the Chaco Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
So the canyons are from 700 to 1300 Common Era, with the main change of power taking place around 1000 Common Era. At this same time, the main power changes in North Africa and the Middle East and the capital at the Rock of Gibraltar are also taking place.
Mm. No accident.
Yeah, there's no accident. There's a glyph that's very
purposeful.
Ancient. It's called mm-hmm. the Secret of Two Partners. And it appears that the Coyote clan appears to the Eagle clan and ask permission to settle. And the Eagle mm-hmm. clan, which is the great eagle, you
mm-hmm.
know, the great feathered snake
mm-hmm.
clan who is ruling the land, he says, you cannot settle until you migrate four times to the four corners. So he sends them out to delineate the boundaries of his territory. And this happened in Egypt, and it's on an ancient
wow.
seal, one of the oldest seals found in the Mediterranean. It's called the Secret of Two Partners. And also, there's a seal that was found. It's a Cretan seal. Nobody's deciphered it yet. But it was found also with an upright woman with a bare breast and two snakes
mm-hmm.
in her hand
yes.
and the bird on her head. And so she's saying with her symbols, twin snakes, bird, twin snake bird. And that is in the Nahuatl language, Quetzal, precious bird, guate, twin snake. Precious bird, twin snakes. That's what the rocks are saying. And that is also what the most ancient pyramids in Mexico say. So what we found in Mexico and what we find in Spain, there's a parallel here. And the history, the oldest histories of Spain before it's Spain, are all these legends of like these underground caves, these underground secrets that, for example, Rodrigo de Guadalajara, he entered this one cave and said, you know, nobody can cross here. Whoever enters here will be cursed and the people will come and attack you that actually were here before you. And this is a reference to the Moors and the fights between the Moors and the northern Visigoths over Spain.
You know, as you're speaking, and then we'll go back. I just have to digress. And we're going to go explore further the Bush connection and all of this, that family legacy. I've had a lot of people on giving us more information. But we're going to learn more about the Muslim connection and the fact that the war in the Mideast, Iran, Iraq,
parallels.
Afghanistan, it continues today, and it is very purposeful. This family is
they were
bent
involved
on continuing this
continuing the war against the
war.
Muslims and erasing them from history and the culture, the high
mm-hmm.
culture and the advanced
high
knowledge
culture.
That they had, and the beautiful the culture of poetry. Look at what Hafiz means. It means he who could memorize the poetic text.
We don't really have that level of understanding with poetry in our culture. There are many in the culture here that do, but...
So what's significant about what I was trying to set up was this politics in Europe. Pay attention to politics in Europe, and if you assume international relations, which is part of my expertise, I also hold a master's in international politics from the university in Amsterdam. I put my basic assumption in a relationship, and then I look at politics, power politics, and then I look at art. So I can see that there's an interconnection, interrelationship. Now, why? Why am I trying to stress this separation so you can look at Spanish history more discreetly mm-hmm. and not just assume that everybody came from Spain is Catholic? Because all the way to Zaragoza, which is a northernmost city in Spain, mm-hmm. and Leon, it was Muslim ruled. Now, the Muslims slowly lost territorial control of Spain all the way until they were completely deported from Spain. And where were they deported? Were into their territorial possessions in Mexico. The famous Zayd, the champion Zayd and Don Quixote, his daughters married into the princes of Mérida, the Yucatan Peninsula.
Mérida?
So he was deported, but his family became landowners here. And they already had these territorial possessions as Spanish land grants.
The truth behind Don Quixote now.
Yeah, so I guess the point that we're trying to push is that the mansions are haunted. Why? We have a curse on Santa Cruz. Why? We have a complete obliteration of the Moorish history of Santa Cruz. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why?
Why? And to this day, so the parallel, look, the assassinations of the Castros, April 22nd, 1876, Governor Joe Castro's assassinated in a lynching by the lynch mob, the Bango Boys.
So that was up at
San Juan Bautista. That's where he was lynched. He was actually baptized in San Juan Bautista.
Now, I thought it was on the Pacheco Pass.
It was a stagecoach robbery. It was a setup that took place on Pacheco Pass. Nobody was killed, nobody was robbed, but they set up a robbery. And in that, an enraged mob with mob mentality, this is the excuse, okay? The enraged mob with mob mentality accidentally lynched the governor, not knowing how important a man he was. And this is not true. They knew how important a man he was, but this was staged so that they could act enraged and make a mistake. And be sorry, but later.
But it wasn't, it was also the mayor of what was...
Brancaforte and
Villa.
Monterey. So the Bosque,
which
you
is
see,
Santa Cruz.
This is what's interesting is that the name Moraga is the family that held the Spanish land grant here. And if we go back, this name goes back to the Spanish Charlemagne, Carlos Moraga, and the Bosques. Territory conquered by Charlemagne was here. I hate to tell you guys that Mexico is actually California, and it was a Spanish territory, mm-hmm. that when the Spanish were conquering their territory, Charlemagne made it all the way to here. And then the Basque defended the territory, and the Franciscans were the order that replaced the Jesuits. Mm-hmm. So from 1823, there was an order to secularize the missions. What does that mean? It means stop the Jesuit push, mm-hmm, get them mm-hmm. deported from Mexico. Mm-hmm. So at the same time the 13 colonies are having their little powwow on the East Coast, Mexico's already decided that the Jesuit Order of Christ has to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they deport them all by 1776.
Now
they're
why?
Deported.
Why?
Politics. Politics, politics, bad politics. Ask yourself, what was happening in Europe? European politics caused the deportation from Mexico. When the Jesuits got in trouble in Europe, they were extracted from Mexico. They were replaced when the king in southern Spain came back into power, and this is Fernando Alcharcón. And this is what Aptos is named after. Ahuatos, I think it means Ahuatiwo. It means warm waters. It's Nahuatl. And so Cal comes from Xochitl, which means flower. And they weren't cities. They weren't cities. They're part of the Spanish land grant called the San Andres land grant to the Castros. And when Joaquin Castro died in 1838, he left it to his daughter, Rafaela Castro, who the historical society and the local libraries have made into a man to erase her husband from history. Because we don't
and
want...
And what is her name, the man?
Rafael Castro, a man.
And
they just took the... And
the
actually, there's a grave...
say about Rafael?
That he was the last heir to the land grant, and that Klaus Spreckels married the youngest daughter. And that's how Spreckels comes to own Aptos Village.
What was her name?
Well, the forgery publishes her kind of close to what it was. They call her Agustina Marie, or Augustus Marie. But her real name was Maria Antonina, and she had a twin sister named Maria Atanasia, and that's Latin. Their mother was well-educated.
So important. And they can be read upside down, sideways.
Well, this is interesting. Taken is that
way out of context.
Hines of the Hines 57 worked with the Bush family. They were Grey Friars from the Edinburgh Freemasons. They worked to overthrow the Peace of Westphalia. I know the dates don't make sense, but I'm talking through forgeries, and I'm trying to talk through history that nobody's going to tell you, is that Vespania or Westphalia can be a grand power.
Well, victors have rewritten history.
Yeah, the victors have given it to us differently.
And you know from an oral tradition in your training.
Yeah, and also a great interest in history. So I do minor in history, and I am bilingual, and I read more than I understand, but I do read indigenous languages. My expertise, though, is in material culture. And see, what we study in material culture, material metaphor, is the value that's structured in that inner relationship the human has with the earth, or what they build, the way they build, the way their doors point. Where's the kitchen? Which way does the church face?
In the Hindu tradition or feng shui.
Yeah, so
important.
If we get to the haunting then, so we have a curse on Santa Cruz. Why? We have a mission here that was not built in 1797 by Mr. Lawson, which is a forgery. It was reinforced. It was already there. The road here is more than 4,000 years old, and it extends all the way into the Yucatan Peninsula. There's archaeological evidence.
And that was built by Camino Real.
The Camino Real, that's the road I'm talking about. Well, we don't know. I can tell you is that from the years of 1700 to 1876, I'm tracing the military Anzurins that were controlling this route. Right now, the United States controls this route.
Just to diverge once more.
Yes.
I know you've spoken about the Anzurins, but can you just say a little bit more?
So the Anzurins are the royal southern Spanish families that are actually related, an interrelationship between the southern Spanish caliphs and the northern Castellanos. The dukes that became the princes of Castile. There's an old story of the seven sons of Lara Marquez. Look, it says, seven sons of Lara Marquez de las Navas Vecinas. The seven sons of Lara Marquez of the new vicinities. Now, these men were beheaded by the Holy See, which means that's the Holy Roman Empire. Well, they're Austro-Hungarian, okay? Be careful with
these
politics.
These Anzurins?
No. The Holy Roman Empire were after the Anzurins. So
sure.
We're having a fight in Spain between the Northern Catholics and the Southern Muslims. And the Southern Muslims are Anzurins. Anzulin means blue, and it means they're in the royal line of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. So the Prophet produced 14 caliphs in his order, which means the blood of his own bloodline, before it was overthrown by the Abbasids in Samarra. With the overthrowing of the Umayyads, the Abbasids took power. This is where we get the Sunni religion, which it's one God and one prophet and no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rigid.
Sort of fundamental.
Rigid and fundamental. Shi'i religion has that Sufi bent. They're waiting for the 12th revelation of the last prophet and that he can come, like the Tibetan religion, in another person.
Warring among each other too.
And, well, then the war, because who should it be? Through just scholarship? Like the Sunni would say, you know, one God and the Prophet through scholarship, and the Shiite who would say it was through the bloodline and the reestablish of the bloodline of the Prophet.
Mm.
So when it was overthrown in Samarra, the capital was rebuilt in Cordova, southern Spain. And the dynasty was called Ar-Rahman. And the Rahman dynasty ruled from southern Spain, and the temples, the mosque, are the same as in Jerusalem. The architecture is the same. Now, it's a huge fight in Europe over these kind of things, who the temples in Jerusalem belong to.
Oh, sure, I know.
And Jerusalem, Jeru, is
power.
Jebu, and the capital, for reals, of Israel in history and antiquity is Samarra in Damascus. So they have us fooled even at the political level right now of what historically has been Israel. Israel historically is not in Judah. There's a separation. Judah was separated with the capital at Jerusalem, and Samarra was its sister city with 10 other cities with the capital at Damascus. Samarra was destroyed. The capital moved, I guess, to Babylon, south into Iraq. Also moves into Cordova, Spain.
Just as our capitals continue to move.
We have the resurrection, the reinstatement of the dynasty, and then we have its livelihood until 1325 with the sacking of Seville, the southern Spanish cities.
Mm-hmm.
We have the last sacking of Granada in 1492. Then we have the deportation of the Muslims completely into Mexico, and the northern Spanish follow them.
Oh, yeah.
Junipero Serra was a spy. He came and he spied on the Castros. The Muslims were already here. Why do we know this? You know what we found? We found the evidence of the Moorish temples on the eastern side of the Santa Cruz Mountain. There were Moorish temples on the eastern side of this mountain. There was a sanctuary there that's been absolutely destroyed. And there's a cemetery there now called Harvey West. Why would they call it West if it's the east side of the mountain? These paradoxes proliferated in Santa Cruz, because what happened is that Santa Cruz is not a city, but they coveted Santa Cruz so desperately. The
mm-hmm.
land was so beautiful and mm-hmm. the construction of the city so wonderful.
And resource rich as well.
And resource rich and wealthy.
The water,
and monarchs still here.
Yep. Wealthy, very wealthy.
Wealthy. So the Magnolia Rose had more than 100 rooms, and now it's dismembered into 5 different pieces, and it was dismembered and the pieces were separated and moved to construct a city.
Can you talk a little bit about how it was destroyed?
Okay, well, first let me tell you that the Moorish Cemetery on the eastern side of the Santa Cruz Mountains, if anybody goes there, just be careful, because there's a huge curse. There used to be a Moorish sanctuary there with a very high and advanced Sufi culture, which means that the destruction of what was there is still present. Look closely, there looks like foundations in that cemetery where all the headstones are held. Now, I'm going to take you up to the Mission Hill that also faced southeast, the
mm-hmm.
original church. This is also haunted. Why? Because Mr. Hines himself took the destroyed bricks after an earthquake in 1857 and inverted the building 180 degrees so that the front, where actually the precious bodies were buried on the western side in a habit, Franciscan habit, were left underground,
now,
and the church was moved.
What's the reason for doing that?
This is black magic of the Grey Friars. The Grey Friars from Scotland,
mm-hmm.
if you think about the Grey Friars Cemetery in Scotland, it's one of the most haunted cemeteries in the world.
I
don't know what this
know
means, but
that.
It's almost like a portal of evil, because they
portal.
Could practice very wicked things here. So not only was there a ritual in the construction and destruction of the houses, but in the histories destroyed, and then there was witchcraft done with the murders. So Book 2 documents 14 murders of the Castros, done actually systematically by Alfred Frederick Joseph Hines. And yes, it's the Hines of the ketchup. Don't let the misspelling fool you. Listen.
And why don't you give us those other spellings?
So his
see.
Name is, it, well, Hines, H-E-I-N-Z, that's the ketchup. And everybody knows him because he's the land grabber of the Mexican tomatoes and everything else. The land, the women, the churches. He raped many women. There's a lot of incest. Out of the 4 women he raped each of 2 more generations of children after that, of those own his own children. his own children became his own grandchildren. Yeah, so this man took the bricks of the Mission Hill in the earthquake, inverted them, okay? And then Sir William the Scot, which is actually his name, his actual real name. So he's a Henderson from the destruction of the Botswick Bricks. Mm-hmm. His real name is a Henderson. Hearn is German. The word is German. Mm-hmm. But he was a master of disguise. So the lie is that they're Irish. So this is where we get the word Neary, Carney, Perry, Leary, Hine. Hine, H-I-H-N.
Very common names in this area,
H-I-N-D-S.
Too.
Hines, as on the Hines Victorian Mansion, which we can talk about, which is a piece of the Magnolia Rose and very haunted. Hearn. H-E-A-R-N-E, which is on my family tree. This is the spelling they left me. And Matilda and Lori Hearn, which are Hines' two oldest daughters. Their children married, and those are my grandparents.
And you have been trained to decipher different names and spellings.
So lexicography was my work. I wrote dictionaries professionally. Mm-hmm. Those dictionaries are not just a handwritten dictionary. They actually process and parse. They were done for the Department of Defense when I worked in New Mexico at a research laboratory there. And these are very sophisticated parsers. So I learned very much about language. So I also hold a PhD in cognitive psychology, which means I'm a linguist as well. Mm-hmm. I worked for 10 years as a linguist. What we pay attention to is the evolution of language.
Yeah.
So there's an evolution of language, but also the staticness of a literate language to trust so much in the print media that they're expecting the print media to be more true than the oral language or the oral history,
well,
which is
ignorance.
Much older.
There's no opportunity for a lot of people to delve more deeply into this. And that's why I've
asked
you.
No, and it's hard.
But I just want to get back to the temple and how that was distorted. It was such a power spot for beauty and amazing, wise teachings. It was a portal for that. Sufi.
The Santa Cruz
and I suspect
Mountain.
Other... Well, at
religions.
The time, they weren't necessarily termed religions, but teachings.
They shared space up there.
They
okay.
did.
The mission, Santa Cruz, was built as a Jesuit, as a Catholic church, and it faced southeast, and it was up there. On the eastern side was a cemetery. That cemetery has been destroyed. It was destroyed right after the governor and the mayor and all their family were lynched and murdered in 1876. Then by 1877, 1878, we have... the rape and pillage of the Southwest with all those stories of Carson, Kit Carson, mm-hmm. and Billy the Kid. But
the
then,
Apaches.
Yeah, by 1880, we have them getting ready to wipe the cemetery down, to take the cemetery out.
Boy, they had everything planned.
And those stones went into the foundations of the Moorish temples on the eastern side. But the bodies were not moved.
Oh.
So above on Mission Hill... where the little children play and there's a school up there, that used to be a cemetery.
And some of the bodies are
I believe
still
that there's
there.
A mass grave still down there. And what they did is to destroy that cemetery, they destroyed the church. They inverted it completely to the west. So the church that's standing up there is nothing of the original. The original church is now called the Rodriguez Neary Adobe. It's the oldest adobe up there. And that's the recycled bricks of the original sacred church. And they don't tell you that. It's been inverted, which means the back is where the trash is.
They didn't just murder people. They actually took energy and twisted it around.
They
Buddha
twisted.
With neither good nor bad. They made it extremely evil and destructive so that these forces continue. And I do want to go back to Magnolia Rose and the houses because I promised everyone and I want to hear more. But we talked a little bit last night about the Nazi symbol and the recent riot here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let me tell you how we look at stuff from an embodied perspective. We don't look at the language. We look at what the body does with the material culture. So that means the social institution, the Main Street. Santa Cruz has been created through a series of forgeries and stolen mansions. So Santa Cruz was not a city until 1877. Look it up in the old library.
I know it was Villa Branciforte.
Villa de Branciforte was the city. And Santa Cruz was a private university, a private ranch, and it also had, I don't know, businesses. It had a train up through Davenport. It's a little different. I have several pictures. So there's still buildings there, but it's called the Ranch of Refuge, and it's private property of the governor's father and mother, and this is the family of Rodriguez Real, which means the royal family of Rodriguez de Guadalajara, the guardians of God's flask. It was a Spanish land grant given to the Rodriguez Real family that mm-hmm. actually made the land grants to the Castros. So the Rodriguez were the daughter of the Viceroy of Spain. Mm-hmm. And the Empress of Mexico was here in the 1820s. We still had monarchs, but
what
we had...
What was her name? Because she was very...
Maria Pilar.
Prominent, Maria Pilar.
Uh-huh. Her bones are in San Francisco in the Mission Dolores. And if you want to go visit her, we know where she is. If you walk straight in the cemetery and you turn to the right, there's a stone that says Rosemary Vasquez and George Castro. And those are two characters in my book that we've detailed their lives. They went missing in 1838, and their stones mark the bones of Maria Pilar.
We are going all over the map. I hope everyone can follow us, because we have a tendency to do that. But to get back to the bodily felt experience and what we walk
the
around
riots.
In of the outlay
okay,
of our state,
so
the architecture.
This is what happened. They took the Magnolia Rose, and they after they murdered the people in there, there's very many murders that take place in this building. So we have the murder of Carrie Bean that you can read about in my book. We have the murder of Alice Sullivan, who was one of Hine's daughters living in an orphanage that got out in 1873, was married off to a porter, and then assassinated 3 years later in the Magnolia Rose. This is how the money went into the Porter family. The children that actually lynched the governor, they were the Williamsons. They had a bar in Felton. Alexander Pacheco, in retaliation for killing the governor, assassinated them both. But these children, even though they died, are maintained on the Huggins forgery, which is the Wells Fargo forgery, as living. And the people that they married got the money. And this is how Mary Agnes and Klaus Spreckels helped move the money.
Ah.
Yeah. Mary Agnes
Amazing.
Was the wife of Klaus Spreckels, and she ran an orphanage.
That was a little confusing in the book. I had to go back.
Yeah, she ran an orphanage at the Winchester Mansion in San Jose. That was the capital of North Mexico, built by the son of the Mexican president, which his name is Uribe, we say, or Iturbide. That's how it's evolved now, but it's U-R-B-E. And he was the son of Julius Augustus, coming out of the southern Spanish ports from Cadiz, which is 1 hour from the Rock of Gibraltar and 1 hour from Madrid. It's a very important port in southern Spain, ruled by the Moors under Alfonso el Sabio up until 12 or 1320 something.
The history. So to get back to the Magnolia Rose and then to the riots here, but Magnolia Rose... What was its significance? It was
a landing site that connected by waterway to the Mexican-Spanish White House, that was
which
the
Rispin
Land.
Rispin, you said.
Okay, let me tell you the right name. We call it Rispin, but I found it. I found the original pictures, too, when it was standing. And they're published in my book, and the book is online, and the city will not let you even see these things. What they published that used to be there are forgeries that are photoshopped.
Well, and that makes me wonder about our local historical society. Historical societies elsewhere, what are they hiding? Who is ultimately in control there?
Yeah, well, Hines became the proprietors of the libraries, and his family, which their name has slightly evolved, is the family Heath. And the Heath Division continues to publish the forgery on Rafael Castro. It's in the library. You can go read about Colonel Rafael Castro and how Klaus Spreckels married her youngest daughter and inherited the San Andres land. Oh, my goodness gracious sakes alive. Let me tell you, inside the Klaus Mangels mansion in Aptos Village, Mary Agnes' picture is hanging there, and she's a little redhead. And she's hanging between the two actual in-laws of Rafaela Castro, who was murdered there. That was land grabbed. It was private property.
Is that in Nicene?
Yes. Nicene Martz was her backyard. Her children played there in those waterfalls.
My favorite place.
It wasn't a state park. It was private land grant, Spanish land grant to the Castros. It wasn't free to go there. Those bridges entered private property, and they were well maintained and controlled to protect her. And she was protected by one of the governor's sons, James Riley. But it was really a girl disguised, and that's Alexandra Pacheco.
I remember reading about that. She was amazing.
Yeah, she's so pretty. She's so beautiful. She had these beautiful blue eyes.
And why she chose that name?
Well, because the Wileys were the local side, that's the maiden side of the Bush family, are the Smith and the Smith Wileys. These are very established publishers called John Wiley and Son, New York publishers. They sell us every textbook we use in the university. This is where the money went.
Who is controlling our education?
And they are controlling our education. So she didn't want to be killed. So she picked a name close enough to someone you wouldn't want to accidentally assassinate.
brilliant.
Yeah, and it was named, his name was John Wiley, and his brother's name was Robert Wiley. And Robert Wiley inherited the governor's properties up on the Blue Mansion that's on the hill that's called the Wiley Mansion. It still has a plaque maintained by the Santa Cruz Historical Society referencing the forgery of the Wiley family. I would dare them to put up the truth that it's the Rodriguez house. Can they spell Spanish? You know, do they know? No houses have their Spanish names here. And they were not built
in
the 1880s by these Anglo-Saxons or Germans.
This was all Mexican land. How could they all be erased? They were murdered.
They erased the governor.
And what I also found interesting, too, was Samuel Prescott Bush.
Mm-hmm. He was here.
Became the senator in Ohio after we were talking Rutherford Hayes. Became president, and what was his association with all of this?
So what's interesting is
this
if anybody has,
piece, folks.
Yeah, this is all
happened
here. In Santa Cruz.
It was a major port, a naval port,
it
a lot of wealth. That's why it happened. Strategically located.
Exactly, strategically located, controlled by the Anzorins, which comes from Azulín, which means blue. They controlled the Camino Real, which goes from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to California, comes all the way up here into San Francisco. It leads you right to the Mission Dolores. Right? So, what was the question?
But Rutherford B. Haynes,
what happened?
Who also stole the election.
Yeah,
the
so there
family.
Was a set of stolen elections that they stole them exactly as they were stolen in 2000 and 2004 or 2003. Yeah. They were
same
stolen the exact
later.
Same way. The same states, the same families and the same states participated in this. And they already
Ohio.
Had it down. Yeah. So what they did is that they conspire to say that there's a problem in counting the vote. Okay, this is how it works. Three states conspire to say there's a problem in counting. We need a recount. They create the problem. And it was Ohio, Florida, and I can't remember the other one, but it's the exact same one of the Eastern Seaboard.
I
think it's New York, but I'm not sure.
No. Was it New York?
It's another Eastern Seaboard state, but I know there's Ohio. Anyways, it's in book one, documented very carefully, are the elections of 1876, 1877. And this is when the Republicans came into power through a rigged election where the Ohio Senator, Rutherford Hayes, or Weatherford, is also his name. His daughter is Hazel Hayes, married Sam Houston. So she's Hazel Houston.
Sam Houston.
Yeah,
Houston.
These are powerful people, powerful interrelationships. History of colonization.
In the states, anyway.
Gosh, it makes me think about the Botsford Brig colonies. You know, the ancestors of the Bush family come from Freemason.
Botsford, that's a Boston name.
Yeah,
Botsford
Brig.
I'm from Boston. I didn't know that. My gosh.
1626 to 1723, they assassinated 1,200 Franciscans in Scotland. And then this is when William the Scot puts his famous name on Scotland. It wasn't Scotland. John Williams or James Williams the Scot, that's where we get the name Scots Valley.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, that's where we have the architecture of the church. It's distinctly Scottish Freemasonry. Yeah, it's distinct. So that's what I'm telling you, they were sharing space. Like maybe there was, because I mean, there's
sure.
a Catholic church up there. There's a Scottish church.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Or school.
It's a theory. We can
construction.
Pursue.
Right. We know that the construction is Scottish Freemason. Of the mid-1700s.
And the importance of bricks and the power of bricks incorporating the five elements, air, wind, fire, water, and air.
Hines' ancestor is a Scottish Freemason. I'm not sure if he's Scottish himself because he also said he was Irish, and Hearn comes from the German.
So you don't know. No one knows because of what he said. He claimed so many.
But they spoke Latin, and they worked in Italy. And they worked for the Holy Roman Empire, and his compatriot was named Gilbert Smith. And Gilbert Smith, this is the maiden side of the Bush family, and he says with one woman, he had 13 kids, and then with his next woman, he had 20. It's not true. You see, Hines raped four women, and each of the children of those women, and had eight children. So how did Gilbert Smith get 30? Because he raped a lot of women.
Same person.
Was a priest from Italy. He was a Freemason. He worked with George Washington. And he worked with the Hendersons, the Botswicks. These are all Freemasons from the Edinburgh Lodge that assassinated the Franciscans, 1,200 of them, including Juan Portola. That's our road here. Juan Portola was a soldier. He worked for them. But Juan Portola It comes from the word Capitola.
Yeah.
He was a leader. He was a guide. And our road here is named after him. And he was also one of the first ones lynched by these Freemasons. Gray friars. What does that mean? Gray. It means they're not black. What's mm-hmm. friar? They're priests. They're not black
gray
priests,
flops.
But they're in the middle.
In the middle.
Well, they're not black magicians, and they're not,
white
magicians. They're gray magicians. And Mary Agnes, which ran the orphanage at Winchester Mansion, and the wife of Klaus Spreckels, which was the pseudonym of Samuel Prescott Bush, her name was Mary Agnes Breyfogle. That comes from Greyfogle, or Grey Friar.
So we've got Wells Fargo going all the way back to Scotland.
We have the... And then what
Scotland
happened
today.
When they assassinated those
Grey Friars...
I'm going
to have to listen
friars.
To my, the recording of this show later, so I you
figure
so
it
fast.
Out, yeah.
There's so much here.
Well, this is where they got the money. Don't think that on the 1734 Mayflower, when all the colonizers were coming over, that the Robin Hood didn't have money. He had a lot of money because they had just overthrown what was before Scotland, the assassination of the Franciscan order there, which also had grants, land grants, and Spanish Hispanic Vespalia families. And that money they stole, George Washington, let me tell you his name, George Watson, became the benefactor. He was an orphan, quote unquote, because he was one of these children of the rapes by Gilbert Smith, the maiden side of the Bush family. He had 30 or 40 children in his lifetime. This is Mormon colonization. This is how the Mormons, this is how the Normans colonized. N-O-R-M-A-N.
But when did the Mormon religion come in?
N-O-R-M-A-N. It's all about colonization and conquest. They had multiple wives.
And of course, they
had multiple women.
Amazing genealogy resource.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably
and
why.
And one of the main priests, so the accountant was named George Watson. He was the one that handled the money after the overthrow in Scotland, and William the Scot puts his famous name on Scotland, and now we have the birth of the nation of Scotland. Okay? But there's a massive amount of money that they've stolen. And this money comes with George Washington as he comes into America. And any of their descendants were to bear the name Watson. So this is where we get the name Watsonville, because Hines worked for his father. These are Hendersons.
And yet we've heard it came from someone who just marched in.
Oh,
Cole
yeah, a
Watson.
Soldier that came in. What they
out
gave him
nowhere,
a year before his actual
the East
birth.
Coast. I had to go just explore the area. Oh, I'll discover
found it. I'll build roads and schools.
I discovered it. Yes, aren't I a good man?
And his property and his names are right on top of Tiburcio Vasquez, which is the actual Basque and the oldest corn grinder on the site of Rosemary Castro's adobe in Monterey. That's where Colston's property is. And the other forgeries, you know,
take
that...
Take me there.
What?
You have to take me there.
Well, yeah, I'll take you there. What's interesting about George Watson is that Hines, with one of his rapes of his own offspring, which he was raping Alice Sullivan, that's Elisa Huggins in the Huggins forgery. He was raping her, and that pregnancy wasn't his because she had a secret boyfriend. Remember George Castro?
Yes, I do.
Well, George Castro's baby was named Coleman Watson, and he was a very wealthy heir. So part of the particular of getting this money from George Watson, the accountant working with the Henderson and the other Grey Friars in Scotland, was that your benefactor had to bear the name Watson or Herzog. And this is the Hertz or the Heinz mansion. They're still here.
Now, where
Hearst,
were those rulings?
Same family.
Where were those rulings put into place? Who made that decision that it had to be?
They
those
made
two
this
names?
Decision before 1723. And this is even before they come into the Americas and start their so-called 13 colonies and separation. It's a forgery, too. I don't believe any of it anymore. Now that I can see through the California history, I don't believe Eastern Coast history
and
either.
And learning from you the past few weeks, I'm really questioning. I thought I knew quite a bit about history, but...
Well, and what's interesting is Herzog became a plantation in Louisiana.
Herzog.
They own it. But look, it's spelled backwards, God's dead. Herzog? Backwards, God's dead. And they overran
and that's done intentionally.
The temple. They overran the sanctuary.
Oh.
He was a reverend. He was a preacher. And these are what
blasphemy.
The preachers were doing in the German-American run schools after the Mexican-American War.
Shutting down the truth of those teachings to the mass population. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, we got the destruction of the Moorish temples. Who's ever going to say that there was such a thing as a Moorish temple on the eastern side of the Santa Cruz Mountains that made that mountain
and
sacred?
There were others. Yes, it was.
So it's
and
cursed.
That, and it, the energy came into the Santa Cruz itself. So can you say, we only have 15 minutes, mm-hmm. but can you say a little bit more about the dismemberment of the Magnolia Rose?
Mm-hmm.
Who was there when it was supposedly burned? Mm-hmm. You told me that that was
so anybody,
and
yeah.
then the riot.
Okay,
that happened
yeah,
here.
I'll try to do that. Okay, let me tell you. On April 22nd, 1876, the Bango Boys checked into the Magnolia Rose and never checked out. The Aptos Museum in Aptos, they hold the hotel registry. It doesn't belong to them. It was donated by the family Swift. The family Swift, great-great-grandfather, was like the grandmaster of the Freemasons. Like, he was a very high grand dragon or whatever they are, of the Order of the Eastern Shriners, or these Freemasons and secret societies of Oddfellows. They probably participated. The Swift have an investment in maintaining the false history. They donated that hotel registry, and I asked for it. I said, that is public. That should be for me to see. I want to touch it. And the man let me look at the archive. I know all those people now that checked in. What? Well, all the people that checked in 1876 stayed for 3 months after those murders. And there's everybody before that date is missing. And then for the next 100 years, there's not a single Mexican name registered in that roster. That's the Spreckles mansion.
Burned?
They staged a forgery of a fire. That mansion was dismembered and moved around to create the city of Santa Cruz. Wait a minute. It was moved to the other side of the San Lorenzo Real Rodriguez River, and it was opened up. Santa Cruz has a curse in its roads because the mansion, the Great Magnolia Rose that connected to the Mexican White House when mm-hmm. the capital of Mexico was here, under the Anzurins, on the Spanish mm-hmm. land grant to the Castros, the families that were really the owners were murdered systematically, and that mansion was dismembered and moved. Okay, 14 bedrooms went to Aptos Village. That's the Bayview. Now, the other pieces made it to Santa Cruz on the other side of the river, and they're opened, which means they're positioned around like a circle around Front Street and Pacific Street in downtown Santa Cruz.
Listen carefully. Try to visualize this and see what it makes.
The roads of Santa Cruz enters and exits form a swastika. Mm-hmm. As you can only enter one way Front Street, and you can only enter Pacific through Laurel and go north.
I know, it's strange. Felt that.
Yeah, and through water, you can only go north, and then you enter Pacific West. If you pay attention, these form the western and eastern bands of like a swastika. Material culture. I'm not trying to you know, get elaborate with anybody. I'm just saying, look at the way we build.
Yeah.
Look at the way
For
we interact
reason?
With our cities and our roads. And pay attention to what we've done to create a city out of a forgery and a stolen history mm-hmm. of the Mexicans here. The mission at the head of that street has been inverted 180 degrees. The bell tower that was on the original school that has the Scottish architecture, it was a university when it was Mexico up there.
Mm.
The bell tower's been taken off and in turned completely around. And it tolls under a water.
So what does that mean?
It means that underneath the bell tower is nothing. It's a school of our nothings. It's the evolution of the Ku Klux Klan. There doesn't have to be boundary, education, rules. Look, they took the bell tower off the school. They moved it on top of nothing except water. They took the Bayview, which was on top of the hill in Capitola, off the mountain. Mm-hmm. They put on apartments with just water. They moved the Magnolia Rose from the Esplanade. And when they moved the Magnolia Rose off the Esplanade, they put bathrooms, just water. If you see what they did, they took the Magnolia Rose into 5 pieces, and then they moved it across the San Lorenzo River and opened it up, spread it out. They spread it out around the city of Santa Cruz between Mission Hill and the ocean. the part at the head of town is the Mission Santa Cruz Hill. Then you also have the Heinz Victorian Mansion, which is right by the railroad tracks on Chestnut. That was a piece of the Magnolia Rose. If you follow Front Street and Pacific to the end and you look up, there's an upside-down door with an upside-down cross that just jumps off the cliff. If you exited that door, you would surely die. That's a piece of the Magnolia Rose.
Gosh.
And then the house right next to it, up on 3rd Street, the nine
yes.
main bedrooms called McLaughlin Mansion,
yeah.
that's a piece of the Magnolia Rose. And it was, oh, in other words, do you see how something that was together,
mm-hmm.
all is a beautiful mansion connected by waterways to the Mexican White House, doing
mm-hmm.
international diplomacy and
waterways.
A wonderful landing site?
And that's why we see so many canals here.
Well, the canal on Brancifordi, that brought
off
boats.
Of Market.
And they closed it up. And they won't, and the way that you drive
Jeez.
Over the bridge, you can't even look in to tell
no,
that it was human
can't.
Constructed.
I used to wonder what it was.
It brought boats
Looking
in.
At it was so odd.
It made it to Lexington. There used to be a tunnel under the mountains that connected San Jose to, or Los Gatos to Santa Cruz that was destroyed. And that's a city under Lexington that's a drowned city. But I think that's where the canals went. You must have come out by train, and then you picked
mm-hmm.
up a boat there. And then the boat would bring you to the ports.
Yeah.
Because they're big enough to bring water.
And I promised everyone we'd talk about the spirits that still inhabit these mansions.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little experience of that last night in Aptos,
mm-hmm.
the Bayview. But can you say a little bit about what, I mean, the people were tortured and dismembered as well as
mm-hmm.
the homes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine traumatized spirits.
Very traumatized spirits.
Who knows what happens? We really don't know. But to die with that kind of horror and then trying to release that soul, that spirit from that
nightmare.
Well,
we keep them trapped too by killing them in a house and then opening the house. And
mm-hmm.
then putting the roads of Santa Cruz in a pattern that's actually a clockwise swastika. Because the Mother Earth symbol is also a swastika, but it
but
goes
the
other way.
Yeah.
So it's spinning the energy the wrong way.
Yeah.
It has us walking on the streets in a perpendicular to the ocean in the middle of these open and dismembered houses. So as we spin the swastika,
mm-hmm.
the dead cannot...
Shopping in the middle of Santa Cruz, you have no
idea what you're doing.
Now
watch the rioters. The rioters are coming down water,
riot that happened
going
on May 1st,
down,
you're talking about.
Turning north, breaking
mm-hmm.
all those windows, coming back and going back. The same pattern. The police meet them and only reinforced their pattern. It was a pattern dance and their partners. That's how you can interpret a dance. And a dance where the people engaged were hypnotized. Did you see how they don't even respond? The drumming and the sound is symbolic.
Sure.
And it says alcohol, drugs, violence, needles, overdose, revolution. And the kids,
that's what they were saying?
That's what they were playing. And then these kids were walking, and then they ended their riots after breaking the glass, which is also a symbol. They walked the pattern of a swastika. The police entered.
And some of these kids probably had no idea.
No, it was International Dance Week.
Some
I saw many
innocent.
Of my students
many
there.
Many were innocent.
Yeah. But also that it was like a hypnotic, very witch. It was like
and
a witchcraft in a way. But where they met at the end was at the empty school. The bell tower of nothing.
Oh,
and they partied
God,
there
no
for almost
nothings.
An hour before the police even got there. The police didn't even come till it was over. They let them do it. And
well,
then the
I
man
had heard that the police were told there was something else happening.
Let them make an excuse at the last
yeah.
minute. There's a piece of video online where the man asked him, why weren't you here an hour ago? It's been going on an hour.
What did they say?
The police said, well, we were overwhelmed. There's too many of them and it would have been too dangerous for us. You know what? At the back of that crowd were men with ball caps protecting. Pay
and now
attention.
We have five new police officers.
It was a reinforcement of terror.
Yes.
And it was no dark or black or Hispanic people. There was a black man you can see on the video, and he's the one that was picked up. But he was in the very back, and he was armed. And he conveniently said he did it. Like, how nice to put a face of color on something that was actually, if you look
yeah.
online, they're all white.
And why did he say he did?
His last
person.
Name is Hines. Pay attention. Yeah, it is. And they're everywhere, which means these Mormon colonizers have multiple children, and they're all in place now. They're all in, that's why the governments are starting to test us, to see how much they can do, because enough of these politicians in alliance with the government and corporations and big
mm-hmm.
money
mm-hmm.
are now in
mm-hmm.
place, and they're
mm-hmm.
all related.
Mm-hmm.
And to have these power positions, like in
mm-hmm.
the city, they're old money. These are old families that have distorted history and have used the unofficial or the official.
It's not just happening here. It's happening all over. Now look at Arizona and the law that was recently passed.
Well, that's what's happening, right? Look, Moraga, Arizona, Castro Moraga. They had the power to give land grants all the way to even the Native Americans all across the Southwest. It wasn't the Mexicans or the Catholics that destroyed the Native American culture. It was the invasion of the Americans after the American Civil War that brought their tactics from the South and practiced them on us over
the
here.
Tactics from the South unknowingly,
they pulled the rug out on very young lives and very beautiful lives. And then they erased the governor from history because they won't dare say that a Mexican-Spanish man continued to be elected in Santa Cruz and continue to govern. The first governor is Matilda Hines' daughter, which is actually this man, William James, or James Williams. What a great...
We don't know.
We reference him as a psychologist. We refer to him as the first psychologist.
William James, yeah.
William James. Well, I have to tell you, Peyton Lafayette, those are the men. Their name is on the landmark at the head of town. Let me tell you about the hauntings.
No, we only have 5 minutes, so...
Okay, I'm going to tell you specifically. Juan Jose, the governor, haunts the adobe up on Mission Hill. He dedicated his life to that orphanage before he was lynched. He was lynched in San Juan Bautista. He was hung on the tree outside the Castro Breen adobe. If you visit that tree, you can take flowers. Alice Sullivan was Hines' daughter. Rape. It was a rape of Rosemary Castro. She haunts the Hines Victorian mansion. She was assassinated in that piece of the mansion, and she followed it. Hines is trapped in there with her, I'm sure. Mary Agnes, or Mary Mangles, the wife of Klaus Spreckels, and Klaus Spreckels himself, they haunt the Klaus Mangles mansion in Aptos. That house belonged to Rafaela Castro, and she was ambushed there and murdered there.
Now, people that have the ability to hear spirits, do you know what they've been saying?
You mean like people
What do they hear from these spirits that are trapped?
Oh, well, so we have the little girls who actually live in a piece of the Bayview, and there's certain rooms that they just can't sleep in that are extremely haunted. The Bayview Hotel just had, like, the ghost adventurers come in, the paranormal team. Yeah, they loved room 3. You got to see room 3 and room 9. Room 9 never existed. It used to be a staircase that connected the Bayview down the mountain to the rest of the Magnolia Rose on the Capitola Esplanade. So when they moved it and they closed it, and then they opened the door to the other side, many spirits got locked in there. So they don't know how to get out because the doors have been inverted on all these buildings. So the high school, they closed off the entrance and they inverted it to the west. Now, the mission, they knocked it down. They put a new church on top of the parking lot, left the dead under, and inverted it 180 degrees and made it an orphanage. And if you go look under there, there's an unearthed structure that looks like an excavation that wasn't put back. That's a hole that leads to the train that's underground, and that's how they disappeared children. And then the train goes right in front of Hines' house. And Hines, he murdered somebody at least every 7 years. He was a murderer. He was a murderer, but he was a practiced one, and they were. It was a lust for blood and conquest, and they went from one end to the other in no time.
We're referred to as mercenaries today. And you think of...
The first congregational minister to Santa Cruz in 1873. Welcome to your congregational ministry. It was not good what they did here.
Oh, no.
And under the German, see, the German run Catholic Church, so he took the name Hearn, which is German for mister. It means mister. It doesn't mean anything else except mister, mister, mister. But he put it everywhere. Neri, on the Rodriguez Neri. Yeah. 1 minute.
Oh, we're going to have to wrap it up. I want to have you on once a month,
yeah,
Julia.
We can iron out the hauntings because it's so complicated.
And you'll be on volume 3 or 4. It is. And we can also share some of what you've learned about the victims.
Yeah. The next one will be just the houses then and now, because we've uncovered so many houses. We still found them, but they've been moved around. And we're going to show how they were and how they are now. And yeah, they're beautiful.
I think what I'm going to do is have you on for 2 hours the next time and then open up the phones for any questions or something.
Yeah.
We can talk about that, too.
Yeah, we can. We'll do good. We'll have fun.
We will. Thank you so much, Julia.
Okay, cool.
And are you going to be having those talks? Do you think?
Oh, the lecture series?
Yes,
we have to first put a class together. I think the material's probably too dense, so we need to make a flyer that's more simple. Yeah. But we get to do the lecture series all the time, which means we invite everybody to the Bayview to come and eat and have a drinky-poo. And it's a wonderful space, and the owners are actually really amiable. Italian and Portuguese, old schoolers from the actual old country. So they're not your typical Aptosian that you might come in and say, hey, this belonged to the Mexicans, and you might get your butt kicked on the way out. They actually welcomed me in, and they showed me the whole house, and they're actually very, very generous.
I met them last night.
So come and see the Haunted Baby Hotel, everybody.
Yeah. You'll be in for quite a treat. Trust me in that.